Book of Proverbs, chapter number 16. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 16. I have one verse that I'd like to deal with tonight. It's found in verse number 3, but let's read a number of verses. This is a tremendous chapter. Which one isn't, really? Begins in verse number 1, says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth his spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." I'll read one more. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Let me ask you a question. Did one of those verses speak to your heart? Was there a verse there that spoke to your heart? What tremendous, varied subjects that God has in these verses. Let's ask God to bless not only the reading, but the preaching of the Word tonight. Father, thank You this evening. We've had the privilege to enter into this place. Thank You for the wonderful music, that which we could sing from our hearts, that which we could lift up our voices to, that which was given to us by the young folk of our church. Lord, how we thank You for these and how You have worked in their hearts, and You're allowing them now to minister to us. Lord, we pray that as we now look at Your Word and take this time for preaching, that You would tonight, through Your Holy Spirit, empower. Lord, I pray tonight for the fullness of the Spirit of God, that You tonight would make Yourself very real in our hearts, that we might be, sometimes we use the word challenged, Lord, maybe a weak word, but Lord, we might be convicted in our hearts of that which we do right, that we might do it better, of that we do wrong, that we might change those ways. Oh God, tonight, that the comfort of the Spirit of God may invade us, that we might, as we walk in You, recognize that wondrous comfort that only comes from above. Enlighten us from Your Word, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Verse number 3 is our text tonight. In this text it says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." There's an amazing thing as I come to the Word of God, and that is there are so many statements in the Bible that seem to be in direct contradiction of my own thinking. If we look at that verse, he says to commit our works, and then he will establish our thoughts. In my own heart and mind, I would think if I had my thoughts established right, then I would be doing the proper works. But God tells us here, commit our works. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I think of Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and running over," or shaken together and running over, "shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That seems like something that's opposite of my thinking. Give and it shall be given. Isn't that interesting? There's another scripture found in the book of Matthew. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be. It doesn't say where your heart will be, there will be your treasure. Interesting, is it not? Things that come at me as a little different than I would think. But we don't always see things as God sees them, do we? And so it's good for us to pick up the Word of God and find out, hey, this is the right way to think. Okay? And so He tells us here, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I entitled the message tonight, Commitment Leads to Peace. It is interesting to me, as we met in the men's prayer meeting time tonight, that the number of times men prayed and were actually praying in the matters of commitment. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? How God is already preparing the hearts of men, and I assume women of our church, to bring into these thoughts in our own beings. And then I heard some of the songs that were brought before us tonight. I thought, wow, what is it God is wanting to do tonight? Commitment leads to peace. I want us to notice that commitments, as God tells us here, brings the proper kind of thoughts. I believe it's verified throughout Scripture. Like before you turn to the book of Ephesians for a moment, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. And we notice here, I'm going to read three verses. In verse number 22, verse 22 of chapter 4, he says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. So God is teaching us something, and basically He's teaching us when we're saved, we have, two natures, two men? Okay, we have the carnal nature, the fleshly nature, and we have the spiritual. The spiritual's in a spirit, and if we follow that, we follow the Spirit's leadership, God's going to take us in the right direction. However, we've got that carnal, that fleshly nature, and He says, put that off, okay? And be renewed where? Notice the next phrase there. In the spirit of your mind. Wow. What does God tell us here? God says, hey, you need to put off some things that God might renew you, okay? As He said in the book of Proverbs, we need to commit to God that God then might establish our thoughts. Interesting that God says it in that order. Book of Romans, chapter number 12, a familiar scripture. In Romans 12, we think of verse number 1 often, but I want to really get to verse number 2. In verse 1, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God says, I want you to commit yourselves to Me, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that interesting? God tells us there that if we will commit ourselves, we will present ourselves, then God is then going to do some changing in our mindset. I believe we find this example to us in many, many different regards. For instance, when you and I get married, we stand before the preacher, perhaps the judge, and as we're standing there, we make vows one to another. And in those vows, we commit ourselves to that other person. By the way, personally, I believe the greatest aspect of marriage is not love, but commitment. Okay? And how we need to be committed one to another. Love is just some of the wonderful fruits of it, okay? But we need to commit one to another. And there's so little commitment in marriage. But when marriage is committed, it brings about the proper thoughts of the other individual. It brings about the right kind of thoughts. So often as I would go to work in years gone by and be on the job, as many of you are, day after day, and you hear people and they talk about their spouse and they say horrible, ugly things about them, and you wonder, how in the world can two people who exist in the same household have such horrible thoughts about each other? It's very simple. They're not committed to each other. For when you're committed, you're going to have the right kind of thoughts. And when you have the right kind of thoughts, you're going to say the right kind of things about them, I believe. Commitment to your family, I believe, also brings proper thoughts about them. It's going to cause us to have those kinds of thoughts that are going to stir us to action and cause us to accomplish the things that need to be done. Commitment to our church is going to bring about proper thoughts about it. It's the uncommitted that want to gripe and complain in churches, as well as in families, wherever we might be. Commitment to the Lord is going to bring right thoughts about Him. Let me ask you something. Did you ever hear a committed Christian saying bad things about the Lord? It just doesn't take place. When we're committed to Him, we're going to say good things about Him. Why? Because He is the object of our commitment. And thus it brings about the right kind of thoughts. And so the Lord teaches us here, commit our works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And that's a very important thing, because we find ourselves living in a world where people have such confusing thoughts, where people are just so mixed up. I mean, they are in a torrential, horrible situation, and they think this, they think that. They do not have their thoughts established. One of the things that I hear often today is that we need to have good self-esteem. I guess what that means is, if we walk into a bank and pull out a gun and say, I want all the money that you got in your bank, that means we need to really feel good about ourselves. By the way, criminals sometimes have the greatest and highest self-esteem. My Bible tells me that we're to esteem other better than ourselves. Now, I believe that we need to have a right self-concept. That right self-concept is basically this. We need to recognize who we are in relation to God, and we are sinners. We need to recognize that because of our sin, we're separated from a holy God. We are a people who are damned to hell for all of eternity without Jesus Christ. But in that same thought, we also remember that Jesus Christ loves us and loves us for who we are and came to this world and gave of Himself that you and I might be saved. Upon the cross of Calvary, He died. He shed His blood that you and I might be saved. And so God, in spite of the fact that we are worthless, gave a great sum for us. Amen. Let me take you way back when I was a little boy. I said that I was a blue baby. I have no idea, but I had a number of things that were wrong with me as I came to this world. They almost lost me when I was 3 months of old of some kidney problems, of an infection. Later on, when I was about 6 years of age, I had two things that hit me at the same time. One of them was hepatitis. I don't know which one. I believe it's the one that's not the bad one, because otherwise they tell me I'd had it when I was 50 by the time and I'd been dead and all that good stuff. But I had that, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. Along with that, they had diagnosed me with rheumatic heart disease. And rheumatic heart disease later caused me to have my problems with the valves of my heart. And perhaps I've had it most of my life and didn't realize it. But through those years, I was a very weak, sickly child. In the earlier days, it was nothing for me to miss 2 and 3 days of school quite often. I remember on one time, the time I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, I missed 2 months of school because of sickness. And the good thing was that God gave me a fairly sharp mind in those days. I don't know what happened since, but in those days, I was able to pretty well keep up with students and so forth. And through a period of time, I began to get stronger. By the time I was about 12 or 13 years of age, I quit having colds all the time, every flu, every cold, everything that came along, I caught it. Okay? I could catch baseballs and the flu just like that. Boom, I'd have it. And because of some very severe problems when I was a child, my mother was somewhat antsy. And so whenever anything would come along, off to the doctor we would go. And I used to look back at that as even as a little child, and I would think to myself, this stuff costs money. And I would see myself as a horrible drain upon the finances of our family. But here's an amazing thing. You know what, Doc? God, my parents, God bless them, they never, ever one time said anything to me about it. They never saw me as a drain upon their economy. And they always gave me the realization that I was loved. Now, I liken that to our self-image before God. We are really despicable individuals. We are sinful against God, but God gave so much to us, and He loves us, and we're not a drain on God. And He thinks very highly of us. So much so that He sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins and mine. Man, I'm worth something to God. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm a lousy, no good for nothing sinner, but God cares about me. And that's the kind of image that we need to have. And when I stop and I think about that, man, that's a great thing. You know why God helps me with that? And how God helps me with that is when I am willing to be committed unto Him. When I'm willing to give everything to Him, then those thoughts invade my soul. But when I'm committed to myself and I'm not thinking about God, that self-image is not there. I only feel lousy. I don't feel the acceptance of God. You know what I'm saying? Commit thy works unto the Lord. And what does He say He will do? Thy thoughts shall be established. God gives us wondrous security. But I ask you the question tonight, what does it mean to commit our works to the Lord? Well, we got a great friend that lived almost 200 years ago. His name was Daniel Webster. And Mr. Webster wrote a dictionary. And in that dictionary, under the word commit, he said this, to give in trust. To commit is to give in trust. To put into the hands or power of another. If I'm going to commit myself to God, I am putting myself into His hands. Allowing Him to do whatever. Jalen, come here. Come here, Jalen. Do you trust your daddy? Huh? Do you believe if he came up here right now and picked you up, he could just carry you wherever he wanted? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Would you let him do it? Yeah. You would. Have at it, Chad. It's in your hands that she has committed herself. By the way, I want you to notice, it's a loving embrace. Amen? When we commit ourselves to God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving ourselves to Him. And He doesn't pick us up like a stinky little diaper, you know, and carry us like this. It's like that. It's close to His bosom. We are committing ourselves to Him. We're allowing Him to... what? Have control. We're allowing Him to have power over our life. It's no longer Jalen walking. It is Chad doing the walking for her. It's no longer where she goes is her desire. It's where He takes her. That's what we're talking about. To give in trust. To put in the hands or power of another. To put into any place for preservation. Isn't that an interesting comment? When we commit ourselves and Lord, it's to allow Him to put us in any place He wants to for preservation. Here's an interesting concept. Don't take it negatively, but it's to imprison us. To capture us with His arms and to take us where He wants to take us. Now, how many believe that Chad would take his daughter to a place that would harm her? Nobody in here believes that. And neither does a Heavenly Father. When we are willing to commit ourselves unto Him, to give ourselves to His complete control, it's to put our works into the power of God. Really? It is letting God take a hold of us and do the work for us. It is allowing God to take us where He wants to take us. It is allowing God to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in our lives. Amen? That's what it is. Commit thy works unto the Lord
And God says He will do something, and that is, our thoughts shall be established. Placing ourselves at His disposal to do whatever He wants to be done. We don't decide what to do. We leave that up to Him. His Word becomes our primary source of directives in what to do. This is the revealed will of God. He becomes our authority in all matters. When we are seeking, what is it God wants me to do? It is, what does the Bible say? We know tonight there are a number of things that the Bible says. And we could take all night and tomorrow and the rest of the... Well, we will. For the rest of the time that we're on earth, we'll be talking about what God wants us to do. Yeah. I mean, there's some very simple things. We know tonight that one of the great works of God is to pray. To pray. When we commit our works unto Him, we are what? Saying, Lord, here am I. Use me however You want to. That's one of the great things of prayer. And we're coming to Him and we're talking to Him and allowing Him then to talk to us. The Bible tells us we're to pray. The Bible tells us we're to give. The Bible tells us that we're to preach the gospel. The Bible tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we have the Word of God as that which is directing us. But there is something else, and I hate to use the word something, because we're referring to the Holy Spirit of God. Not only does the Bible teach us very pointedly from its words what to do, but the Spirit of God speaks to us as individuals and leads us. I don't know how to explain that leading, but I do know this. If we're not willing to allow the Word of God to direct us, and the Spirit of God wrote this Word, how in the world do you think that you're going to let the Spirit of God direct you individually? Can I say outside of the Bible? There's a lot of folks say, well, I'm being directed by the Spirit to do this, and the Bible says just the opposite. See, He's going to go in accordance with the Word of God. And so we need to, first of all, be able to follow that. But the Spirit of God is going to direct us. My Bible tells me that I'm to be led of the Spirit. So if I'm committing my works to the Lord, I'm to allow the Spirit of God to lead me to the right place to do the works, to have me to give me the ability to do those works and to help me in doing those works, whatever they might be. How many tonight got a blessing from our young folks? Let me ask you this. Chris, did you pick out the song for the younger ones? How many believe God led her in that? Some of you are not sure, are you? I believe God led her in that because it ministered to our hearts. Really? Who picked out the song you three girls sang? Was it a combination? They might not have realized this, but when they were picking it up, I'll tell you what, that ministered to my heart. The Spirit of God leads in those things. And when He leads, it works. God blesses through it. But we need to commit our works to the Lord. And what's interesting then is that our minds, the thoughts of our minds, they become established. In other words, we're not so wishy-washy. We're not back and forth. We're not having all these thoughts that just put us back and forth, in and out, up and down. You know, it's amazing how many of God's people say, man, I love God, and they're in this mood, and they're in that mood, and they're in the other mood. And quite frankly, you get tired of their moods. What's wrong? Their thinking is messed up. Not committed their works. Commit, He says, thy works unto the Lord. Thy thoughts shall be established. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Interesting section of God's Word. Chapter number 10. A little bit of an illustration here of what we're talking about. Chapter number 10. We find in the Word of God in verse number 24 something that you and I are to do. Here's a directive from God. If we're going to commit our works unto the Lord, He's going to establish our hearts, then we must commit ourselves to doing what He says. So here's one of the things He says to do. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, a lot of Christians that are not committed to the Lord, they read this, and let us consider one another to provoke. That's going to provoke somebody today. All right? That's not what it says. It has a very good objective in mind. To provoke what? Unto love and to good works. Wow. So one of the things that we have a directive from God to do if we're going to commit ourselves unto the working of God is to what? Help provoke each other unto love and to good works. Now this is interesting because it's an explanation found in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now here's an interesting thing. How am I going to provoke you to love if you're not here? How am I going to minister if you're running? I got to go catch you. Right? Now that's something else we got to do. But nonetheless, God wants us what? To gather together. We might provoke one another. Help each other in this manner. Boy, that's interesting. So, Chris, I'm supposed to help you. You're supposed to help me. I was helped tonight by the singing. Little kids that sang tonight, you bless my heart. Teenage girls that sang that, you bless my heart. Actually, I just want to sit there and listen to some more. And after this sermon, most of you wish that he would have. Consider one another. Oh, it goes on, verse number 26. We sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Whoa! Some pretty strong judgment for us when we do not follow the directive of God. And how we need to what? Do just that very thing. That's one very simple thing that God gives us directly. If we're going to commit our works unto the Lord, one of the works is towards each other, isn't it? Provoking each other to love and to good works. Not just provoking. But what is it? It's an encouragement. It's seeking to help our brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. A lot of times we don't see ministry as anything but just reaching the lost for Christ. But oh, listen, if I can encourage you today, and you walk out of here tonight and you go to work, and man, you're encouraging the Lord, you're more likely to be a better witness for Christ tomorrow. Yeah. And if you're going to work tomorrow and say, well, I don't really know how to win somebody to Christ, and I say, hey, listen, you know how you got saved, and you can tell them about that. I encourage you in that thing. You might be able to win somebody to Christ. By the way, if you're saved, you know how to lead somebody else to Jesus. All you got to do is tell them how you got there. Amen. Somebody says, well, I need a course. Your first course is when you got saved. Okay. If you got saved, you graduated. Okay, you got your diploma, and now you can do the same thing. Oh, listen, we have a tremendous, tremendous ministry one to another and to a lost and dying world that's out there. Amen? What an opportunity. And when we commit those things unto the Lord, I mean, we commit our whole life to it, it's amazing how then He establishes our thoughts. We're not walking around all mixed up, wondering if we're in, we're out. Commit your works, and God establishes your thoughts. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and God then cements into your thought, this is what you need to do. A lot of folks say, I don't know what to do for God. Well, you've never committed to doing anything. So He can't show you anything. See? Very, very simple. What a great verse there. Father, tonight I pray You will work in hearts. Help us to understand the tremendous principle that is there. Such simple, wondrous language You use. Lord, You have written it so a child can understand. But Lord, we're children. And we thank You that You are our Heavenly Father. And that You're so willing to teach us. Lord, I pray tonight that this year would be a year of commitment. Committed to the work of God. However You want to lead us in that. Being available, being open to Your leadership. Oh God, that our thoughts might be established. We not have all of these thoughts of despair, disruption. Lord, these things of despondency. But God, that we might, because of that committal, have those thoughts established, secure in You, in our labors for You. I pray You are blessed tonight. Lord, perhaps there's one here tonight that needs Your Savior. Perhaps there's some here tonight that need to just once again bend their knee and bow their head and say, Lord, I give You myself. That old-fashioned, sometimes we call it rededication, but giving ourselves to You. Lord, whatever that need might be tonight, I pray that You would work in every heart as we wait upon You in these matters. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let for you stand, please. Christine, if you'd begin playing tonight. If God